Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sit back, relax, enjoy the program, enjoy the madness, enjoy the chaos that comes with the Brilliantly Dumb Show. I'm Big Game Bob, coming to you on your local airwaves, however you're listening, wherever you're listening. Folks, we're just happy you are indeed listening. Action-packed episode for you folks here this week. I told you we were going to get back into some interviews. I think we have some real good interviews coming up. Today, we got a very special interview. A guy that I've watched for a long time to come now, Instagram comedian. His name is Joe Santagato. And when you have the last name Santagato, you better be an entertainer. For me, why I'm so excited for this one, when I was working at the Four Seasons Hotel, I would watch this Joe Santagato on my lunch break. And he has a huge YouTube following, huge Instagram following, and he has been doing it for a long time. He's got a podcast called The Basement Yard, and he crushes it. He absolutely crushes it. To me, he's one of the first ones that I know that were able to take an Instagram personality and use it as their full-time job. And he moved it from Instagram to YouTube, across the board, and he's got a really big following. He's a very humble guy, and he's a riot. He's a very funny guy. But for me, why I appreciate him so much is I used to watch this guy all the time, and I always was in awe of the way he went about his business, the way he grew his following, his network. It was fun for me to watch. And I used to always try and message him to come on his podcast, to have him come on mine before, you know, things really took off for us on the show. And it's really cool to have him here. Joe Santagato is going to be joining us today. Before we get into any of that, I got to say, a lot of you probably saw on the Instagram, I went out and played golf with Albert Pujols' son. His name is AJ Pujols. And I will tell you this, I have never seen a guy hit a golf ball so far in my life. I've never seen anything like it. He's kind of built like Pudge Rodriguez. You know, Ivan Rodriguez, he was short but stocky. You could tell there was just sheer muscle on the chest. Not somebody you fuck with, low to the ground, a lot of power. This kid, and I shit you not, was hitting 380-yard drives. And I'm sitting back watching this. The problem I had with it, sometimes by the time I'm taking my second shot, I'm not even past his ball. It's like he was just at his cart on the fairway, just waiting for me to catch up to him. It was like a dad at the end of the pool when his son's getting ready to dive in for the first time. He's trying to encourage him to keep pushing and to leap and to catch up to his dad so he could grab him. That was me. And it was a disaster trying to catch up to this guy. The trajectory of these balls were unlike anything I've ever seen. And I, to be honest with you, I just thought that was a Bryson DeChambeau thing. I didn't think people were hitting the ball 380 yards, including a college kid. He plays golf. He plays college golf. He was unbelievable. So much damn fun to watch. Albert Pujols' son, and he kind of, he stood in the batter's box like Albert Pujols. Like he looked like Albert Pujols. The way he stood over his ball looked like Albert Pujols at the batter's box. And it was just interesting to see. He kind of had that same swing, but in like a golf version. Unbelievable talent. Just had to get that off my chest. That was on the Instagram this weekend. And then something that I got to touch on, and I'm not going to give out any names, but this is, and I busted his balls. He's a friend of mine, much older, mid 40s. I've given him a hard time for it, and he's taken it. He is on his third wedding. Okay, this is going to be his third marriage at the age of 45, which to me is just exhausting. Just you hear that and it is exhausting. But here's the thing. It's wedding season. A lot of these wedding invitations are coming in. Sure enough, I get a wedding invitation from him. He's having another wedding, which I thought just stops after the first wedding. You put the kibosh on weddings in general. It's one thing to get married again, but to have another wedding. And here's the kicker. We ain't even done yet. At this same exact venue, he is having his third wedding. There's got to be some type of Ponzi scheme going on here because something ain't right. Because at what point is enough enough? I got more tuxedos in my closet than James Bond because of this asshole getting married every other year. I just didn't think that was possible to have three weddings, three venues, all at the same venue. Half of the wedding party is going to walk into the place like they own it. We don't even need to have to put it in the navigation system. I might just walk into the kitchen and talk to the chef from 2 years ago. I mean, that to me is just mind-blowing. Hey, chef, do you have any of those bacon-wrapped scallops left over from the 2018 wedding? Because that would be spectacular. This guy's saving money on every single plate because they're just using the leftovers from his prior two weddings that have just been sitting in the freezer waiting for this guy to get married again. They just label it Leftovers Jenkins Couple 2018. That is unbelievable. And I got news for you. And I hope he's listening to this right now. If they dare do a gift registry for the wedding, I will lose my mind. The nerve. The nerve. I've bought them two microwaves and a set of drapes for their bedroom. How much more do I have to offer here? How many more times do I have to keep gifting? And I can only imagine that the people that are getting the invitations as well think that this is just preposterous. And when I called them, he insisted me, don't worry, this is the one. This is my final one. Well, shit, it better be, because I ain't coming to a fourth. I draw the line after the third. That is nuts. I mean, I feel bad for the DJ who's got to try and play something that we haven't heard already. This DJ just got to do a different genre every single year. Fuck it. For all I may know, he might just be busting out reggae the entire wedding. He already did classic rock. That's the only genre he has left. We're going to be dancing the night away to Bob Marley all night long because we already heard the Beatles. And we've done the Macarena five times by now. I mean, these weddings, these are nuts. These are crazy. And my problem is I got to do a better job of saying no. You know what I mean? As much as I want to bust my 45-year-old friend, bust his balls, at the same time, there's no reason that I can't put my foot down. If this guy gives me a hard time for not showing up to the third wedding, I mean, the nerve. These wedding invites, and I've learned that I've talked to friends and they've said, just say no. Just say no. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I had a guy, I went to go golfing the other day. Went to go by myself because sometimes it's just good to get out golfing by yourself because you're just in your head, you know? And I like to just speak to myself mentally, just have a round, just to mentally lock in. Even if I'm not just thinking about golf, think about other shit while I walk to my ball with my 7-iron. Just really find out about myself. But I show up, three friends pull up to the tee box. I knew I was going to get matched up with somebody. Two of the friends have a golf cart together. One of the friends says to their friend, hey, why don't you just jump in the cart with him? Excuse me? Jump in the cart with me. You're just going to throw some stranger into my golf cart. Like, why would I not say no? And I did it. And I did it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a sociable guy. But that is one of the most nervy things I think I've ever heard of on a golf course. A random person telling their friend to hop in a cart with a random person. That is just, I couldn't believe it. And I also couldn't believe the fact that I didn't say no. Shame. And by the way, I ended up having a ball with the guy. I did. Don't get me wrong. I'm a sociable person. I like to talk to people. But that is just the definition of nervy. Say no. Say no to weddings. There's nothing wrong with that. Just had to get that off my chest. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to transfer it on over now to my interview with Joe Santagato. And again, this guy had pioneered, in my opinion, the ability to be able to do what I do full time. Like, to me, I wake up every morning and I'm genuinely living my dream. I'm entertaining. I'm podcasting. I'm going golfing, getting content. Like, it's a dream come true. And I have not had a day where I've been able to wrap my head around the fact that I'm able to do this full time. And this is one of the guys that I watched, and I just really want to get his backstory, how he did it. And check him out on IG. I mean, he's hilarious. He has a booming podcast. YouTube does crazy numbers, and just a good, genuine, nice guy, good dude. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Santagato.
Give it up for the young man right there, Mr. Santagato. How we doing there? Hey. How we doing there, big fella? A little bit. Is that a kombucha you got there?
Yeah, what else do you think it is?
I like that.
Let me get it open. What the fuck?
You know, kombucha is really the only thing that has that bottle shape. They pretty much, they got a monopoly around that type shaped bottle.
I feel like they used to make potions, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, old potions were made in bottles.
Now, but the thing with the kombucha is nobody really knows what's even in it. I mean, it's kind of a mystery to where it kind of is like a potion.
It really is. There's witchcraft.
That could not have tasted good. That did not look like a good sip at all right there, Joe.
You think I'm enjoying this?
You're up and at them early. No, Joe, I mean, you're a big gym guy. I heard you talking to KFC, who, by the way, he's just the best. He's the best.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
You're at the gym almost. You're almost every day you're up and at him, no?
No, I mean, these days I haven't been like lifting like that, but I try to find a way to exercise in some capacity. Like I was running a lot. I was training for a half marathon, which I ended up not being able to do because I had some fucking weird shit that was happening in the middle of that. So I like fucked up my training. And then like a couple weeks before I like went for a run, I was like, I just did 4 miles at a horrible pace. There's no way I can finish a half right now. So I have to regroup and try again.
Do you look forward to, going to the gym, Joe Santagato? Do you look forward to it? Are you in that mindset now where you look forward? Because there are people out there that they look forward to going.
You know what it is? I don't look forward to it. I feel a lot better when I do exercise. So like when I go, I'm just like, it's fucking like, it's not enjoyable. Like I'm not one of those people like they spend like 2 hours in the gym or whatever. Like I'm going because it just makes me feel better throughout the day. Like I feel like I have more energy, whatever. Like I hate just sitting around and then I just start eating bullshit. And it's like, okay.
See, and I want to be one of the guys where I want to look forward to go into the gym. I'm the same way though. I just look forward to leaving. Mentally, I feel great walking out of
there.
But I can never look forward to go. What'll help you look forward to it though is a little pre-workout, because that could take you to another planet.
Sometimes I try to stay away from that shit as much as I can, because I don't know. Like I drink coffee, but I'm not like a coffee guy by any means. Like I'll have it like maybe once every like 5 days or something.
Okay.
And I don't do like energy drinks or anything like that either. But I, on certain days, like usually like on a Monday, if I need like something because I just like destroyed my body with alcohol on the weekend, then I'll do some sort of like pre-workout. But I had this pre-workout. It was called Assault. I forget.
Oh, geez, that sounds vicious. Look at this. I'm already shaking.
Dude, I literally was like, I could feel every follicle of hair on my body. Like, and it wasn't even enjoyable. Like, it was bad. And I used to play in this football league on Sundays. It was like a rough touch league. And my buddy, like as a joke, brought pre-workout. And these games are at like 8 in the morning on a Saturday. So it's like, maybe you're hungover or something. And I just got up and he's like, yo, you want some? I was like, yeah. We like ran down on the kickoff and I was like, I need to come out. I was like, my heart's gonna fucking explode. I'm scary.
You know, with the pre-workout, I take it and my body, it's like you start shaking, you know this can't be healthy.
And how am I supposed to like even work out like this? You know what I mean? Like I'm moving too much. Like it affects me. That's why I'm like, yo, fuck this.
I'll do a set and then I just start walking around the gym, honest to God. And by the time I get down to do my second set, I mean, I've already been walking around the entire time. I just can't sit still.
Yeah. The only stuff that I take now is, which it is a pre-workout, but I don't like do like a full serving. So I'll do like a half serving of it. It's like a amino energy, it's called.
Okay.
And
see, that sounds better to me than Assault.
Yeah. Assault, fucking C4. It's like, all right, dude, what are you trying to accomplish here?
Well, even the packaging is kind of intimidating. Like the C4, I get kind of intimidated just even getting the thing open.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not about this at all. And then you go to the gym, you see those dudes, you got the big jug of like, that's a gallon of this pink liquid. I'm like, bro, what are you doing to your heart right now? Like, that can't be good.
Yeah, the guys that I stay away from at the gym are the ones with that, even the gallon of water. Like, they got to force themselves to drink that big gallon of water. Those are the guys that'll be there for no less
hours.
Than 2 hours. Hours at the gym. I want to get in, Joe Santagato, and I want to get out.
I agree. I get in there. I do fucking... I probably actually work out for like 45 minutes and the rest of the time I spend like either warming up or running.
Yeah.
Like I'll go on the treadmill or whatever the fuck. But the people in there fucking out. I went to the gym one time with my friends. I was literally there for 2.5 hours. I was like, I can't, I don't even like going with anybody. It.
Yeah. Can't.
I don't like, don't talk to me. I don't like, just ignore me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see people that I know. I'm just like, fuck. Oh, God.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you what, Joe, I am very, you got a heavy dose of me here this week because we got you coming on the Pantry Boys this week.
Yeah.
And I think you're built for that. I think you're built for the Pantry Boys. And part of the reason that I say that, you gave a great take. Now, I don't know if Nikki Meats kind of gave you the rundown of what we do. That's pretty much just talking food, what we hate about it, right. What we love about it, hot takes, what and whatnot. You had a phenomenal take on bananas on your Instagram to where you don't understand when you go to get a thing of bananas, they got to sticker up every banana rather than just bundling it all in one, putting the Dole sticker on the 6-piece. But instead they got to hit every single one. I saw that and I said, this guy speaks the language.
Yeah, no, because I eat bananas pretty often. Like they're like the base of like pretty much every smoothie I have. But like I go to the store and sometimes they have them in those like little bags or whatever, but then there's still a sticker on every single one. And I'm like, if we're going to put the logo on the bag, and then also stick it on every single, like, when does it end?
Yeah.
Like, who decided? Like, is it going to go on the, it's going to start going on the inside? It's going to start, we're going to paint the bananas a different color and shit. What are we doing?
You know what, too? If you look at the cash register when you go to check out of the grocery store, they hate dealing with the fruit because the plastic bag that they give you in, it's kind of a murky bag and they can't really see what's in the bag. And then they got to itemize each thing.
Dude, I have never worked in a supermarket. And like, that to me is like the biggest, and how do you even remember? Like you can buy things in there. You just scan them and then you do whatever, but you see, you give them 2 oranges and they got to like fucking hack the Pentagon to put in this fucking code, pull out this big sheet. And they're like, it's like a cheat sheet. They're like coaching the fucking, it's like an offensive coordinator sheet. And then they got to put in the bananas.
You
know, I'm like,
you give them the produce and everything changes. Everything.
I feel bad.
Yeah. Everything.
I'm like, you know what? I'll just put these back. Forget it. I just want you to beep them. That's it.
You know what? When I'm in the line and what I actually kind of enjoy is going to the different cash registers and trying to pick which one's going to be the fastest. Which one should I go? You look at the people in front of you, how much they have in their cart. I enjoy the process of trying to figure out which line I should go into.
Yeah.
If I see people with a lot of fruit, even if their cart doesn't have that much, stay away from the fruit.
No.
Stay away from the fruit.
Yeah. It's going to turn into that scene in The Social Network where there's like 4 kids behind a table and fucking coding as fast as they can. Like, literally, we need a different system with this. And I don't know how anyone even, because sometimes you'll go and I'll get like bananas, I'll get apples, I'll get oranges, whatever. And this person just knows all of it and they know all the codes. And I'm like, Jesus, I feel bad for you.
It is right up my alley. And then another thing you got to look for is if you have a bagger there, because if a certain line has a bagger, even if they have a lot of people, it's going to go 10 times faster having that guy at the end.
Yeah. And also like at the supermarket that I go to, sometimes you get one and sometimes you don't. Sometimes the person behind the register will bag everything for you.
I always feel bad for them. Yep.
Because what am I doing? I'm standing here doing nothing. Like, I'm just...
So let me ask you something. Do you take the bags and start helping them out? Because then I feel like at times they kind of...
And then they take it from me.
Yeah, I know.
If I got too much stuff, I need 2 bags. They start doing one. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll do the other since I'm standing here like an asshole.
Yeah.
I'll start putting stuff. And then they're like, I got it. I'm like, okay.
Plus they have their processes.
They have a system.
But I don't get the system to where it's all going in the same thing. I mean, it's all going to end up hitting your counter.
Dude, eggs and bread on top, that's all I know.
Eggs and bread on top, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the basics right there. But you're right, you never know when you're going to get a bag. Luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, what I wanted to honestly, and you're a very humble guy, so you're probably not going to agree with me when I say this, but when I think of, and for lack of a better word, somebody being able to make an influencer as a job, to where podcaster, the whole nine yards, to where you're able to do something like that full time, I really think of you as a pioneer for being able to do that. You were in the game very early. You hit the YouTube early. You hit every platform pretty early, and you built it up across the board. You built your following up across the board to where now, I mean, you're able to wake up every day, and I would imagine just do what you love to do. Is it hard to believe that you could do this for a full-time job?
Yeah. And that's the reason why I think that there has been like longevity in what I'm doing. Because for the most part, and what I tell people all the time is like, you start doing this, one, there's not a ton of money in YouTube. It's good. But even if you're getting like millions of views on shit, it's not like you're fucking buying Ferraris and like, you know, you're getting you're buying a new property here and that. Like, it's good money. But if you don't like have a plan B, C, and whatever, and really create something around this platform that you've created, then you're never really going to make that much money. Like, you'll make $100,000, but it's not like fucking life changing, like crazy money that, you know, you see people in LA and they live in these insane houses. And it's like, none of that is coming strictly from YouTube. And I kind of knew that, you know, from the beginning, because first of all, when I started doing this, it was around like 2011.
Yeah.
And an influencer wasn't really a thing. I didn't have Instagram. Like, I was using Twitter like a little bit. So I started doing it. And I remember when I got approved and I made 1 cent, I got a thing that said I made 1 cent in the mail. And I was like,
here we go. Let the game.
I was like, I am officially earning cash, dude.
It's pretty much YouTube saying, go fuck yourself is what they're saying. It's going to be a grind.
And they won't even give it to you. You have to, like, I don't know what the rules are now, but you have to, at that time, you had to make it like at least $125 for them to even like pay you out.
Yeah.
Which at that rate would have took me a fucking while. But I also was kind of like forced into figuring out other ways to make money anyway, because back then there weren't any MCNs, anything to protect you from any sort of whatever copyright issue or whatever. Not that I was doing any of that, but I got flagged for something that I, to this day, I still have no idea. So I was unable to earn at all for 2.5 years, basically, of when I was doing
it. So this is solely for YouTube, right?
Yes.
And you get flagged for one thing, and then that takes you away for two and a half years?
Well, no, for life. So like I signed up for Google AdSense in the beginning. This was like 2011 or 2012. Yep. And I had it for maybe like 8 days. And someone's theory, because I've tried to get that account back. This is like my original YouTube account. It's called Sanagato TV. And someone had a theory that was interesting of like, people could do click bombing. Because if you actively tell your audience, like, click on the ads, because you make more money if people click on the ads and go through.
Right.
So if you actively tell people that, then YouTube would flag you and just be like, fuck you, because you've ruined the rules or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I never did that. And I never had music or anything. It was me sitting in front of a fucking bedsheet in my mom's basement. So there was nothing like copyright about it or anything like that. But they just deactivated my account. So I did it for 2.5 years because I was like, you know what? This is just like a good look, because I'm getting, you know, like 10,000, 20,000 views on videos. So like, I'm going to keep doing this. Like, it's still fun. It's still brand new to me.
Even if you're not making money from it.
And I was fucking 19, 20 years old. I was like, this is just cool to do, whatever. And then at a certain point, I felt like I can't do this for free, essentially. Even though I was like building everything up and I was doing it for free and I wasn't getting paid anything. And then I dropped out of college like before this had happened, but like I had dropped out of college. So I was like working in a pizzeria or whatever. So then I was just like, I need to go back to school because I'm not making money here. I need to go back to school. And like, I'm not going to just give myself.
Is the original reason that you left college because you wanted to pursue entertainment full time between the YouTube and all the other stuff?
No, and I, you know, that would be a cooler answer to say that. Like, right. I just knew. I've always been a good student. Like, I always would be anywhere from like 88 to 92, like around there, like in everything. So I was a good student, but I felt very weird about college for some reason. Like, I knew I didn't really want to go away because I didn't know what I wanted to study. I didn't really think about it. So I went to a community college for a semester. And I believe I had like a 3.5 or something. And then I was just like, I physically couldn't go anymore for some reason. I just had this like thing in me of like, I feel like I'm wasting my time here, whatever. It's a very cliche way to talk about it, but it wasn't because I was lazy or because I thought like education is like a waste or like whatever. Cause I am not one of those people either. Like, people always think that I have that opinion because of what I've made for myself so far in my life. They'd be like, you know, how do you feel about college? And I'm like, fucking, you should go, you know, like that. I really do think it's important to do that. I'm not one of those people that's like, you know, don't go. And like, it's stupid. All they do is teach you organization or whatever. Like, I get that whole cliche, whatever. For me, it really was just this weird feeling of like, take a year and try to find something that you enjoy. I had been making those videos, but again, influencers aren't a thing. Like, the only person that I can even name who was on the internet was Jenna Marbles. It was like literally just her.
Yeah. She was dominating, totally dominating. Yeah. YouTube. So
none of this shit existed. So I didn't even have the idea in my head of like, oh, I'm just going to pursue this full time because this will work out. Oh, because it wasn't a thing.
But what's crazy is you weren't even, I dropped out of college, but I had like a 2.1 GPA. So my parents said, yeah, get him the hell out of here. In your case, it's a lot different because you got a 3.5 GPA. You're doing very well. You're a very sociable guy to where you would think that you would be all for it. You would be thriving in there. You want it out of there.
Yeah. I just felt like, I almost felt like rushed into it. And maybe that's the only thing too, that I will say about college is that it's a very difficult thing to expect of 18-year-olds to like pick where you want to live and where you're going to study and what you're going to do for the rest of your life at this age. And I just like wasn't ready to make that decision because I guess I just wasn't thinking that far ahead. And I was just kind of like in the moment, which is ironic because now I'm like way too far ahead and I'm like, I need to
right.
But at the time I just didn't know. And then I was there and I'm like, this is fine. Like, I'm doing like well, but it just feels like a big waste and I don't know what I'm doing. And you have to take all those like remedial courses or whatever the prerequisites or whatever the fuck. So I was just kind of like, this isn't even what I would study anyway. Like, I just picked like liberal arts as a major because it was like the fucking thing to pick when you have no idea what you want to do.
That's the thing though, Joe, and credit to like what you said too, like you're supposed to pick what you're going to do for the rest of your life at the age of 17, 18. A lot of times, I can't tell you how many times I've had friends go into a major, be 3 years in, realize they don't want to do that or graduate with a degree in something that they end up having nothing to do with in their career. But I think there's a stigma that you have to go to college and that's the right thing to do after high school. Everybody else is doing it, even though it might not be the play, you know, for you.
Yeah. And I think that you have to make a decision right now too. It's kind of like that. Cause when you're in high school, you're still going to school. You still have to study. You still have projects. Maybe you play for a sports team. So you're like, you have practice, you have all these other things to worry about. And then you also have to make this decision also like now, like make it right now. But for me, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to not go for a year. And then either two things, because this is how I think kids pick their majors. They either say, this is what I want to do, or they have some sort of interest, their parents do it or whatever. Or they're like, this is just a good look because it makes a lot of money. And maybe there's a void in the market where it's like they need to hire these types of people so I know I'll get a job. So it's like when you pick things for those reasons, then you either have to just accept the fact that maybe you're not gonna be the happiest person in the world and it's not gonna be like my dream job, whatever, but it's just a safe, good look, which is, I have no problem with that. Or you are gonna fucking hate it and you're gonna be like, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. And then maybe you do that a couple times. Like, my sister is a person who's done that. She went to two or three different colleges. She was going to study to be a nurse. She was going to do this. Like, finally found, she found what she wanted to do. But, you know, this is after a bunch of debt now that you're kind of dealing with.
You know, who I always feel for is the people that go to college and they go into like law school or med school And they dig in deep for 2 years, yeah. 3 years. And then that's when they decide to pull the plug. And then by that time, you are already in thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. And now you got to find something new that you want to do. And now put the money into that to where you're already way behind the eight ball.
Yeah. And honestly, like none of this was like, it sounds smart in hindsight, but it really was a gut feeling that I just like followed, and it ended up like working out. And now sitting in the position that I am now, it's easy to go back and justify of like, you know, this is the reason why. But like the truth is, like at the time, I really just felt like I know that I don't want to do this right now, and I should just take some time and like see what's happening. I know I enjoy making videos, maybe, because the only possibility that I thought is if I make these videos and I build up the platform enough, then maybe it'll come across someone's desk and they'll put me in a movie or something.
Right. So your thoughts,
I can tell you right now,
to expand,
it was an influencer
podcast, all of that stuff. It wasn't even there because that wasn't really around.
I didn't even know what the fuck a podcast was.
Yeah.
Like I remember the only reason why I started doing podcasting is because, long story short, I had $150 in my bank account and I had 300,000 subscribers on YouTube. Right. So I had $150, and this is because I wasn't getting paid at all. I would have probably had like a little bit more if I had that, but it's really not a lot of money anyway, like I said, on YouTube. But I, my old job is this company called Elite Daily. They invited me to come be in a video, and they were in the city. So I was like, all right, cool. They're like, we're going to pay you $150. And I was like, about to double up. What's up? So I go there and I do the video, and then they're like, hey, we're starting like a video team. We have these two camera guys and this guy, Tyler. Would you be down to come in like part-time? And I was like, fucking yeah. Like now, so that's the only reason why I continued doing this, because I was going to go back to school for like for psychology. And I started like signing up for classes again. This is when I was newly 21 or 20 years old. But then they hired me part-time. And then a couple months later, I was full-time there making a salary, and I was learning about production, editing. So I was getting better at it, and it afforded me to be able to keep doing this job. I met this woman on one of the shoots that we were doing, and me and her just had like a good rapport. Like she was really cool. Her name's Kate Wolf. She's a comedian. And she was like, hey, do you want to do a podcast with me out of this comedy club uptown? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. You know, like I don't know what that is.
Thing.
So I just didn't know. Like I'm like, definitely existed. Definitely people had them, and comedians were just starting to get into the podcasting game. But she was the one who introduced me to it. So I did a podcast with her for, I believe, 2 or 3 years. And during that time I had started my own, and then I was doing a sports podcast with my friends, and that I'd no longer do. But the first one, the one that I was doing on my own, eventually became, you know, The Basement Yard. And I just kept doing it over and over again. Now I have that one, and I have the other show, Other People's Lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we interrupt this episode of the Brilliantly Dumb Show to let you know that the show is brought to you by Manscaped. The Olympics, baseball, major championships, concerts, they are in this summer. I'll tell you what isn't: a wild and hairy bush. Protect your balls. Do right by your bush. Do right by your nutsack, and order Manscaped today. How could you go wrong with the Lawnmower 4.0? Get it right. Get it tight. Do right downstairs. I know I do. And you could get 20% off. Yes, I said it. 20% off and free shipping using promo code 20BOBBY. That's 20BOBBY. The world is starting to open up. Don't let your package open up in the wrong way. Here, they are here to help you over at Manscaped. Get that fucking Lawnmower 4.0, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a game here. Manscaped does it right. Manscaped does it tight. Get 20% off, free shipping, promo code 20BOBBY. Do right by your genitals. I know I do. Take care of your nuts today with Manscaped. Was it hard to explain to your parents what was going on? Like, was that an adjustment?
First of all, so I did that first semester I went to Queensboro Community College, and I signed up and paid for my next semester of classes, and I never went. And sometimes, because I didn't have a car, I would take my dad's van and I would drive it all the way to campus, and just park outside and just not go in.
Now, but, but Joe, isn't it more of a hassle to try and get away with it than rather than just showing up?
Yes. But like, so I went to like the first few days of classes and then I was just like, I can't do this. And then I would just drive because I was afraid to tell my parents like, yo, I'm not going to go. So they were under the impression that I did a whole second semester.
Are they still under that impression?
No. I ended up telling
them.
But I didn't tell them until I was like at a place till I got my like first apartment. And then I was like, by the way,
but
I was I lied.
At this time though, you're not, like when you were skipping it and whatnot, you weren't bringing in money on these other platforms.
No, I had nothing. I was working in a pizzeria. That's all I was doing.
Which makes it even ballsier.
Or dumber.
That too.
It really didn't come from a place of like ballsy, because it wasn't like, oh, I'm betting on myself and I'm going to figure this out, whatever. It really was just like, I feel like I'm not ready to make this decision or to like pick the thing yet. And I didn't want to just go and feel like everyone else who's at this place, because that Queensborough Community College is not a place that everyone goes to, like, because it's like it's a community college. Like, you can get in with a fucking, you know, a 65 average in high school or some shit.
Right.
Like, it's not anything crazy. So I'm like, is everyone here just going through the motions? And like, I'm here. So am I going through the motions, or do I like expect more from myself, or do I want to like, you know, whatever? I didn't really want to feel like I'm just kind of doing this for some other reason. Like, this is my life. This is going to be my career, what I do for the rest of my life. I didn't want it to be like some afterthought and I'm just going to like go through the motions and then figure it out at the end. So I that's the only reason why. It wasn't ballsy or whatever. In a way, looking back on it, it was kind of dumb because I didn't have a backup plan. I like worked at a pizzeria, but you can't like, it's not like a career job.
Right.
So I wouldn't have done it. If I could go back, I wouldn't have done it without at least having a plan. Because I remember when this is how zero guidance I had. Mind you, by the way, anyone who even does this lives in LA. I live in New York. I haven't moved out of New York. So I didn't have any friends that did any of this shit. I still, like, none of these people that are my actual friends, like, give a shit about social media at all. Anyway. So I remember I dropped out and I told my parents, like, yeah, I'm not going to go back. Like, whatever. So they were like, okay, if you're not going to go back, you have to get a job. I was like, absolutely. And then actually I didn't get a job for like 8 months. So there was an 8 month period where I would just wake up and like nothing. Like, I didn't have anywhere to be. I didn't have school. All my friends went to school. And then I like had like a fucking mental breakdown. Cause I'm like, dude, I'm a fucking loser. Like, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I was making the videos, but again, it was just a hobby.
Right.
It'd be like anything else. So yeah. So I remember I told my parents like, yeah, I'm dropping out. And they told me to get a job, and eventually I did. And then things were picking up for me. And then fast forward, I built this thing up to like 250 to 300,000 subscribers on this one channel, but I couldn't make any money because they just completely deactivated me for life. So I had to make the decision to start from zero. So I just told people like, I'm starting a new channel, and I just started from zero. And like, I don't remember how many subscribers came over, but it wasn't fucking.
Yeah. It's never going to be the full. Right. Right.
And then, you know, eventually I built that one up to what it is now, which is like, I take over 2 million.
So, but were you working at a job to where you finally hit the point where you said, okay, now I can do that full. Now I can do this full time, pursue this full time.
Yeah. I worked a job. I had 1 million subscribers. I was working a job. Just because I wanted to, it was the job that I was learning a lot at. I worked in editing, production, like all this shit. We had to go to LA and shoot. I produced a series for them. It's called Generation Y. If anyone's interested in looking that up on the internet, I'm sure it's there. The company's not even called Elite Daily anymore. But anyway, we used to go to LA to shoot with people. And I remember shooting with some influencers who knew who I was. And, they were confused why I was working a job. They were like, what, you work here? I was like, yeah. And they're like, the fuck? I was like, you know, whatever. I was doing the job. So I wake up, go to the gym, fucking go back home, take the train to the city, work that job. And then 2 days out of the week, I would take the train back uptown, record two podcasts, go home, and then shoot videos for me.
I'm even so, just hearing it, I would be surprised as well that you do, that you have the job at this time, especially with that following, looking back on it now.
Yeah. I mean, I personally just felt like I like doing all of this and I liked being busy. And I felt like my job was fucking cool, dude. Like, it was mad fun. Like, everyone was super young. The CEO was like 28 years old and like everyone was really about their shit and like knew what was going on. And it just was a good place to be around. There were a lot of good people to be around. So I was like, this is just worth it for me to be here, learn as much as I can. And I only left that job because I felt like I am in charge of this series. So I just eventually, as the company scales, you can't do everything anymore. And right. It's not like I'm going to be writing scripts and then shooting and then, you know, doing this. So I was like basically pigeonholed into doing this one thing. And I was like, I know how to do this with my eyes closed. And I had saved up like some money. I think I saved like 40, 50 grand.
Now you're.
And then I was like,
yeah.
And then I walked. So I was like, okay, I have 40, 50 grand in the bank. I have this following and I have all this knowledge now about production, about editing, and I can make videos. So, well, I can make them like better, or if I could put like a focus on it. So I ended up leaving and then I started like really focusing, putting all the things that I learned from this job into practice. And then eventually it just fucking took off.
Now, was it bizarre for you where you start to go out? Okay. You go grocery shopping, whatever it may be. Now you start to get recognized. Was that weird for you?
It wasn't weird. It was cool at first. Cause it's like, when it first starts happening, you're like, damn dude, like what the hell?
Yeah.
I feel like everyone innately like enjoys that. Right.
Right.
Until it happens like a lot. And then I started to have horrible like social anxiety because you go out and like, I don't like, it sounds very narcissistic. Right. But when I was younger and I would go out, I was like, I don't know if people are looking at me because they know who I am or not. Or if like, is this dude wants to beat the shit out of me or something for no reason? Or like, so
you
I
kind of start like, to look for it.
Yeah. And I'm like, are people looking at me? Or do I, and it's like, so it would like give me all this fucking anxiety. And I hated feeling that like that. And I hated thinking like, oh my God, are people staring? It's like, I sound like a fucking asshole, you know? So this is all internal. I can never say this to anyone. It's like, yo, I think that people are, they're like, and my friend's like, dude, no one gives a fucking shit, you know? But it was just something in my head that would happen. So I like, for a while, it was like a little, you know, weird for me. But now it's like, I have a perfect seat where I am now because I've been doing it a long time and I make good money doing what I love every single day. I go out and people recognize me sometimes. I don't go out and get flooded like fucking
right.
Some
to where
maniac.
You kind of want to, you want to stay in that lane. The
dude,
problem,
I have no desire to be like Logan Paul, like at all. I would say no to that.
The problem you have with it though, Joe, okay. To keep growing, which of course you just, the numbers keep going up. You do keep growing. It's hard to stay at the lane. It's kind of a catch 20 a little bit to where you're at a perfect spot right now. Okay. You love what you're doing. You like you said, you don't go out, you don't get mobbed, but in order to keep growing, it's got to kind of be tough because the more you go up, then the more you go out and you do get mobbed and all that, to where it's hard to stay in that lane.
Yeah, I think for me now, like I, especially recently, don't enjoy the idea of being an influencer. I never really enjoyed that, to be
honest
with you.
Why is it such? Yeah, and it's such a the influencer word is so frowned upon. I feel like it just puts it on a platter to be made fun of because it's like a new generation type thing, but the word influencer has such a stigma to it to where, well, what do you, I mean, somebody asks you what you do. Okay. You meet your parents, friends or something like that. What do you roll out with? What do you say?
It really depends who I'm talking to, but like in a professional setting, I'll say that I do like media and production because there are a lot of
that's
things
a
that
great,
I do.
Yeah. See, that's very good.
So like I do this stuff, but as of late, I've been really more focused on standalone product and development and marketing. So I like all the influencer stuff has taken a backseat in my life.
Is that so?
Yes. So because I don't want to do that forever. Like, I don't want to be 40 years old and I have to essentially make sure that I'm putting myself out there enough that people don't forget who I am, or that I am, you know, whatever. I just feel like I don't want to do that. So in order to not do that, you have to start putting the pieces together now. I'm 29. So I think by the time that I'm 32, that you won't even fucking know what I'm doing. Like, I don't want anyone to really know. Like, I'm more interested in creating products and being part of like a creative team that can create something, stand on its own, not slap my name on it. Like, here's Joe Santagato Kombucha, and just fucking sell that. I'm more interested in creating something that's like actually quality. It's creative. And there's a lot of, you know, whatever. And there are a lot of projects that I'm working on, especially this year, that will roll out either by the end of this year or early next year, that are products like that. And, you know, having a following for as long as I have, I was able to create some connections with people. And, you know, I take a lot of dinners. I take a lot of meetings. I just like talking to people and getting to know like what they're about. I think that anybody has something to teach everybody. You know what I mean? Right. So I talk to people all the time. I've done podcasts with people that have like 50 views or whatever, just because they just give me some sort of energy that I think is like cool.
Right.
And like, I enjoy when people like just fucking get after it and do it the right way. So I'll talk to anybody. Like, I'll go and I'll just like, you know, whatever, meet with them. But yeah, like I said, I don't really have an interest anymore in the influencer thing. I really want to test my skills as a legitimate like businessman, and create, you know, companies and products and things like that.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, it's a credit to you, because I think you really kind of opened the door to make this a full thing for people. I even know myself, even just watching you, you really have. So a lot of credit to you. And then we got a big day coming up. We got the Pantry Boys Wednesday. Be ready to rock and roll. I'm sure you will. And let's get after it, my man.
I got some takes.
I sure you do. I'm going to be looking forward to it. You keep enjoying that kombucha. And I really, really appreciate the time, brother.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, call me crazy. Probably so, but I do believe it is indeed that time, just that time, for everybody's favorite segment. It's the Ask Bob segment. You know the week. You know the drill. Week after week, drill after drill. I am having a seizure right now, folks. A live seizure. I have forgotten how to talk. I am talking backwards. This really just went south really fast. Let me just take a moment here. I'm going to take a sip of water. I was all over the place there. Wow. Hope you guys enjoy our guy Joe. But let's keep him rocking and rolling week after week on the Ask Bob segment. The voicemails are here. They are better than ever. You know the drill. 848-281-7906 to call in for the Ask Bob segment. That's 848-281-7906. Let it rip. This is Jake from Agora Hills.
Hey, Bob. This is Jake calling in from Agora Hills. Just want to hear your thoughts on the calamari question. You know, it's always been fried calamari. Nowadays on the menu, I see that you can get it grilled. And I just, I don't know. I don't know what I think about grilled calamari. I think it's got to be fried. I want to hear your opinion on that. Love the show, love the pod, love it all. Keep killing it.
You know, I'll tell you, it's a good question, and I get where he's coming from, because first off, I think fried calamari is one of the most popular appetizers. I think when you think appetizer, one of the first things into your head is fried calamari. But I gotta disagree. I happen to really like the grilled calamari. And I think we're so used to calamari being fried calamari for the longest time, and that's okay, but we have to be open to the grilled calamari option. I have no issue with it. I think it's lighter, and the only knock I would have against fried calamari, it's great. It's fantastic. I love it. I don't like an appetizer that gets you too full to where you're not as excited for the entree. You know, sometimes where you really went deep in the appetizers and you then find yourself not that excited for the entree because you're not as hungry. You want to avoid that because the entree is why we're here. The entree is what brought everybody together. Next question here. We got another food question here. On the Ask Bob segment to close us down, to close this episode, ladies and gentlemen, let's make it a good one.
All right, Bob. I love the show. Love the Instagram content. I just want to know. So you've been doing these food reviews. I saw one of this barbecue chicken pizza. It looked high quality, but you hadn't eaten any of the pizza and you gave it a review. So I just want to know, is it based off aesthetics? You know, or are you just looking at, you know, the presentation of the plate? So thank you, Mr. Burger.
I'm glad that, you know what, Benny the Jet, our producer, I'm glad we did this. I'm glad that that got brought up because I get a lot of DMs about it. What I've been doing is in my stories and on our Patreon for bonus content, I've been rating the food that I get. The process of the food that I do is it comes down to the table. I take the picture of the food. I eat the food. Then I pop it up on my story and rate it. I got to give the pizza the full credit that it deserves. So you want to see the full pizza pie, and then I eat it. Had I taken a slice out, bit the slice of the pizza, then taken a picture of the pizza, it looks like a whole different pizza. That pizza deserves to have its picture taken while there's eight slices on there, while it's the full pizza. And I dropped the ball the other day. I had a great buffalo chicken pizza. It was so damn good, and I rated it an 8.3, and I apologize to the viewers. I thought that I rushed the rating, bumped that up to an 8.6, but I love rating the food. I'm obsessed with food, but that is the process that it goes, because I had a lot of people ask me that, and I'll even rate bottles of water. I think there's certain tastes to different waters. I could do it all when it comes to food, drink ratings. So we've been ripping a lot of those out, and it gives me a perfect layup here. Folks, if you haven't already, check out the Pantry Boys, me and Nikki Meats, Nick Cassano on Instagram. We have been doing a show called The Pantry Boys. Probably saw it on my Instagram a lot, where we talk food and nothing but food. I love getting the food questions in the Ask Bob segments. We transferred it over to let's do the Pantry Boys. We came out with the Pantry Boys. If you like food, that is the show for you. Keep firing the food questions into the voicemails. Anything that you folks got, I'm ready for you. Hope you folks enjoyed this interview. Hope you enjoyed the episode this week. I love you all. I appreciate you. Get signed up to that Patreon for the bonus content. Come support the movement. We are ready for you. That does it here with yet another episode of the Brownly Dumb Show. I'm off to New York to go into Barstool Sports to come on Kevin Clancy's show, KFC Radio, which will be a good time. We got wedding content coming this week. So let's just keep the ball firing, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the questions coming in. I love you. I appreciate you. We'll see you next week on the Brownly Dumb Show.